హరిహి ఓం తత్సత్, హరిహి ఓం తత్సత్, జయ గురు, జయ గురు. వాట్ షాల్ ఐ సే? వాట్ ఐ వుడ్ లైక్ టు సే అండ్ వాట్ ఐ వుడ్ లైక్ యూ టు అండర్స్టాండ్ అండ్ అసిమిలేట్, దేర్ సీమ్స్ టు బి నో సాటిస్ఫాక్టరీ రెస్పాన్స్ ఫ్రమ్ ద పీపుల్ హూ హియర్ వాట్ ఐ సే. Naturally, I feel, what is the point in talk? I have been stressing solely on the mind. In the whole of existence, and the universe, the world, ourselves, all are existent. In the whole of the existence, our scientists have not been able to find out another celestial body so far very clearly where there is life form, particularly life in the level of the humans as we are here upon the earth. I don't know whether it will be found that there are human beings elsewhere also. But till that discovery is made, am I not right when I say the entire existence is for the most major part objective and gross, and the gross objective existence is inert, INERT, means insentient, INSENTIENT. We generally speak of matter and energy as the constituents of the world existence. Both matter and energy are insentient. They don't have any power or potential to sense, know, feel, remember, inquire, know, KNOW. But is very important. Though the entire existence is inert, only as we are able to understand, observe and feel, the living creatures upon the earth have something different from matter and energy. That is why we are able to know that we have a body, we have senses, we are able to employ them, and we are able to have interactions with the things which are besides ourselves. So the entire existence is objective, okay. But besides this objectivity, grossness, we have, as we are feeling now, the power and potential of sentience, SENTIENCE. We are able to speak at our will. We are able to sense our body. We are able to perceive through our senses the objects around. Now leave these physical associations, media. We are able to think and feel that there is something like the mind. Thought is evolved inside and we are able to feel it instantly. Similarly, doubt. Similarly, all the experiences that we have. None of these experiences is objective or inert or gross. Will you please understand this? All our experiences are not objective, gross and external. Experience by its very nature is inner, internal and subjective. Our thoughts are subjective, feelings are subjective. Our inquiries are subjective, knowledge is subjective. And none of these belongs to the matter energy ken. Our body is a matter energy aggregate. So the knowledge does not belong to it. What is that factor other than gross objects and inertness which brings about this knowledge, experience and awareness? Certainly this is within our body. It is not a part of our body. We are putting on dress and moving. The dress is not a part of our body, but we have put it on and we live and move with it. Somewhat similarly, no simile is absolutely full. Our mind is associated with the body, but it is not a part of the body. Mind is not physical. It is neither matter nor energy. Hence, it cannot be a part, a limb of our body. I have formed a capital sentence. What is that? Though objects are incidental, in our experiences or in causing our experiences, experiences by themselves are inner and subjective. I may see a tree, and my perception of the tree, you may say, is also because of the tree. If the tree is there, I will not perceive it. I perceive it because I am present, and I use my senses, my eyes, to look around. Then I see the tree. The effort proceeds from within the body. It sustains in the mind and it also concludes in the mind. So where is the physicality coming there? I feel I am. I also feel I have the body. I feel I have the senses. Then I employ my eyes. Then I say there is a tree. On the basis of what? My eyes and my experience. Where is the experience? Inner, inward. The mind is taking an imprint of the tree. The imprint is not tree. It is about the tree. And it is mind's own imprint in itself. It is on the basis of this inner imprint that I say there is a tree. The proof for our body is that we feel its presence. As we feel the presence of the body, we also feel the unpresence of the body, the non-presence of the body in sleep and unconsciousness. So where is the focus? The focus is in the mind. Are you aware of it? And have you tried to touch and feel the mind and make it flexible, assimilative, reconciling and invincible? What is the trouble with us? Why is it not that you try to work it up? You know, it is just like you are being appointed as an emperor of the universe. That is why many are not able to be. It is like getting the power to transform the whole of the earth into a mountain of gold. When you understand, experiences are inner, subjective, and the experience of all the gross objects, including the universe, the sun, moon, stars, celestial bodies, they are purely bubbles floating in the mind water. When you understand it, if you are a good and a devout thinker, it should bring about a cyclonic change in you, a tsunami in you. But many people have been listening to Vedanta, Vedanta, and they remain the same matter energy body. I have been speaking for 61 years. It is natural that I feel a little indifference because people are not taking to what we say. Today morning, one shloka came to my mind. Yato vacho nivartande aprapya manasasaha. Yato vacho nivartande aprapya manasasaha. Our speech, that effective weapon called speech instrument, it tries to describe this inside, inner presence. Not able to. Along with the mind, the words recoil. Tadvaktum kena shakyade. By whom can it be amply or properly explained? Is there anybody in this assembly who will spend time with devoutness to reflect upon this fact and truth about your life and let me know that he has done it? He or she? I have been jotting down all the verses that I had learned in one way or the other and through which I have grown, if at all. I have found, if at all. If you go through the verses, you will find they begin in a very humble manner and they grow steadily. Ultimately, they have reached the pinnacle of creation, the zenith of understanding, the crowning fulfillment of human life. For everything, it is set in poetry. What are the values that you must have, if at all? Is value necessary? Should we have a goal? Can it be achieved? What are the areas which we should remember specially? How to ward off obstacles? When do you feel free? What is the goal? The goal is expressed in many ways. Anybody who reads these verses and commits them to memory, they become part of the seeker's life, whether he lies or does something else. You will find these verses will be with him. I had read a verse, but I never used it after some time. Lakshmipati Krishna Sakho Niyanta Brahmadi Logasya Janandasunu Gopi Priyo Gopavayasya Atma Akhilasya Krishno Matido Mamastu. Suddenly I remembered it because I am enlisting all these verses. How is it that I remember it? Because it has become part of my being. And generally I read verses only when there is a meaning, there is a relevance, and there is a message. So the one verse that I wanted all of you to go away from here with is Yato Vacho Nivartande Aprapya Manasasaha. Yato Vacho Nivartande Tadvaktum Kena Shakyade. Bhavatidasya ko bhavaha kimalakshmasya lakshana. Can you explain your mind? No. Can you show it? No. Can you extract some thoughts from the mind? No. You should not like what is alluded to here. I found a letter written by Baba. Is the mind the self? He said, yes, for advanced seekers. For advanced seekers, mind itself is the self, he says. I think I wrote to him and asked him, and he replied, what do you understand from this? All these sentences, descriptions, expressions, all of them are there. Maybe some of you read them or hear them. But I think what should be done thereafter that is miserably lacking. I am having particularly in my mind. She is a little studious in learning verses. Wherever I go and whenever I talk, I always talk with quotations. Some Sanskrit words from the treasure of our country. So I stop saying again that experiences, though objects are incidental to them, experience by itself is inward and subjective. The entire existence has two constituents. One is the object, external and gross. Another is the subject, inner, subtle and luminous. All our learning and research are in the object part. Unless you supplement and complement it with the research in the inner hemisphere, I don't think life will be a balanced one. There will always be imbalance and disturbance. Hari Om Tat Sat. Jai Guru.